All right, take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 30 through 33. So 2 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 30. Here's what the Bible says. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, "Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner." And King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, "Dieth Abner as a fool dieth." And let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time, and I pray that you would bless, that we would hear, not only with our ears, but with our hearts and with our souls, and that, Holy Spirit, you would speak to us and do in each of our lives what you need to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I'm going to speak on the subject, the fool's death, the fool's death. And so let me introduce you to the characters, tell you about the battle at Gibeon, and explain why David said, "Dieth Abner as a fool dieth." And then I'll make the application of what it tells us for today. So if we go back to the scripture reading, let me introduce you to the characters. There were three brothers, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. In 1 Chronicles chapter 2, the genealogy there, naming the sons of Jesse, we find that David had six brothers. He was the youngest, and also had two sisters. In verse 16 of 1 Chronicles chapter 2, the Bible says, "whose sisters were Zuriel and Abigail. And the sons of Zuriel," that's David's sister, "Abishai and Joab and Asahel, three." So these three brothers that are in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and in the story that we read from 2 Samuel chapter 3 were sons of David's sister, which made them David's cousin. Now, Joab, David's cousin, became the general or the leader of David's army. And he received that position when he led the army in taking the city of Jerusalem. And we read from 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, where the Bible says, "And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, 'Thou shalt not come hither.' Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. And David said, 'Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain.' So Joab, the son of Zeruiah," again, David's sister, "went first up and was chief." And because of that, because Joab led and was first in fighting the Jebusites, David made him the leader or the general of his army. Again, David's cousin. Now, Joab's one brother, Abishai, was also a warrior. He was one of David's mighty men. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 18, the Bible says, "He lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them." In 2 Samuel chapter 21, there was a giant, the son of a giant, named Ishbidan, whose spear weighed 300 shekels. He came to kill David. Abishai killed him. In 1 Samuel chapter 26, Saul was chasing David, and Saul made camp, fell asleep. And you remember the story. David snuck into the camp and took Saul's spear and his water bottle. Well, his cousin Abishai went with him on that occasion. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 10, Amnon and Syria had joined forces, and they came up to fight Israel. And Joab, the Bible says, delivered part of the army to his brother Abishai and led it to victory. Now, the younger brother, Asahel, was also in the army. And again, we don't have any scriptures about him being a mighty man, but we'll see in talking about the Battle of Gibeon that Asahel was there, which led to the story we read from 2 Samuel. So all three of these brothers were David's cousins, the sons of his sister, and all three were warriors. Now, we also read in 2 Samuel chapter 3, our text, about a man named Abner. He served King Saul. In fact, he was Saul's cousin. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 50, and the name of the captain of his host, of Saul's host, was Abner, the son of Ner, Saul's uncle. So again, Abner was the general in Saul's army, and again, he was Saul's cousin. Now, the Battle of Gibeon, 2 Samuel chapter 2. Saul is dead. David has been crowned king over Judah. Abner took one of Saul's son, Ishbosheth, and made him king over the rest of Israel. And we read about Abner, Saul's general, and Joab, David's general, meeting up at Gibeon, and there was a battle between the two of them and their armies. In that battle, Joab's forces, David's forces, there were 19 men that died. But there were 360 of Abner's men that was killed. In this battle, Asahel, again, the younger brother of Joab, the Bible says he was as light of foot as a wild roe or as a deer. He started chasing Abner. Abner tried to talk him off. He'd say, hey, go get somebody else. If you want to kill somebody, go kill somebody else. But Asahel did not back off. And so Abner had to kill him. He poked a spear through him. The Bible says in verse 23, howbeit he refused to turn aside, wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of his spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him. So the story goes on. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, Abner got mad at Ishbosheth, Saul's son, who had set up being king. Saul had a concubine. Abner took her. Ishbosheth rebuked him for it. And Abner got mad because of that rebuke. And he decided to lead the nation of Israel to anoint David as a king. In other words, he decided that he was going to bring the people that had served Saul, that didn't make David king, to David, and join the nation together, and they would all serve David as the king. And so he took 20 men with him to Hebron to meet with David, and made plans with David to make David king over all of Israel. At that meeting, Joab wasn't there. He was out attending to business with the army. And so he comes back and he hears that Abner had been there. And he rebukes David. He said, you know Abner, he came to deceive you. And without David's knowledge, he sent word to Abner to come back to Hebron. And while he was there, Joab and his other brother, Absalom, kills Abner. In verse 27, and when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib, just like Abner had killed his brother Asahel, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. So Joab, in verse 30, and so Joab and Ishbosheth, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. Now, as we read in our text, David mourned Abner's death. In fact, he led the people in mourning for Abner. And in that mourning, he made the statement that we read in verse 33, dieth Abner as a fool dieth. There were three reasons that I'll point out to you why Abner died as a fool. Number one, he put himself in the hands of his enemy. He knew that Joab wanted revenge. He knew that Joab wanted to kill him. He should have been more on guard. He should have insisted that David be at the meeting. He should have taken the 20 men that he had brought the first time with him to meet Joab. He should have insisted that the meeting take place inside the city. And I'll tell you why that's important in just a second. But instead of doing any of that, Abner met alone with Joab outside the city. Outside the city. Number two, why did Abner die as a fool? he did not make use of the power that God had given him. Joab didn't have him bound. He wasn't tied up. I mean, his hands and his feet weren't bound. In fact, in verse 34, David said, as he was mourning Abner, after he had made the statement, "Dieth Abner as a fool," he said, "Thy hands were not bound, nor thy foot put in fetters." Saul's captain, Abner, was, again, the leader of the army. He was a man of war. He was skilled in fighting. He knew how to defend himself. And he should have come with sword and spear, ready for a fight. He should have come prepared to defend himself. He should have come ready to use the skill and the strength and the experience that God had given him. And yet we read of no attempt to defend himself, no attempt to fight back, no use of the things that God had given him. Why did Abner die as a fool? He put himself in the hands of his enemies. He didn't make use of the power that God gave him. And then number three, he died just outside Hebron. Hebron was a city of refuge. It was one of the six cities designated by God through Moses that if a man killed another by accident or in self-defense, he could flee to one of these six cities and be protected from those that wanted revenge. Now, if you planned to kill somebody and did it in a premeditated manner, even though you went to one of these cities, because it was premeditated, they could pull you out. Somebody that wanted revenge, a family member that wanted revenge, could pull you out of that city and kill you. But if it was an accident, like if you threw a stone and you didn't see anybody in the path of that stone and that stone hit somebody and they died, or if you were chopping down a tree and your axe head fell off and hit a person and killed him, or if it was self-defense, like Abner, it was self-defense when Abner killed Asahel, you could run to one of these cities and be protected. You could stay there, and the people that were seeking revenge, like in this case, Joab and his brother Abishai, they couldn't take you out of the city. They couldn't kill you. You were protected by the laws of God from those that wanted revenge. And so in this case, all Abner had to do was to just get inside the gate. All Abner had to do was to get inside the city of Hebron, and he would be protected by God's law. He would be protected from Joab. He would be protected from death in the revenge that Joab wanted. So, a wonderful story, a story that's exciting. But you might ask the question, what can this story teach us today? Well, it teaches us a lot, because there's some people that are making the same mistake that Abner made. And if you don't change, you're going to pay the price that Abner paid. You're going to die as a fool. So let me make the application. Again, 3 points. You're putting yourself in the hands of your enemy. Satan is your enemy. He wants you to die. He wants you to die, first of all, spiritually, to be separated from God forever. And eventually he wants you to die physically so you can go to hell and be with him. In 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, your foe, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Satan is sneaky. He'll lie to you, just like Joab did to Abner. I'm sure, and the Bible doesn't record it, but I'm sure Joab said to Abner, "David wants you to come back. He has something else he wants to talk to you about. And so would you come back and meet with David and I?" And again, it was a lie. David didn't even know that Joab was sending for Abner. He didn't know that Abner came back. And so Joab lied to get Abner exactly where he wanted him to be so that he could kill him. Satan lies to you. He says, don't listen to the Bible. Don't listen to what they teach you in Sunday school. Don't listen as the preacher preaches. It's all a fable. God won't send you to hell. He loves you. And you've got plenty of time to get saved. You can do it tomorrow or the next day or the next day. And Satan says, just listen to me and I'll take care of you. You don't need God. You are a God. That's what he tried to tell Eve if she would eat the fruit, she would just be like God. So you are a God. You can be like God. He's handing people today the same line that he handed to Eve in the garden when he tempted her to eat the fruit. And some of you are listening to him, and some of you are believing him. So you're putting your lives in the hands of the enemy. Number two, you're not making use of what God has given you. He's given you the Bible. The Bible warns us about Satan. In fact, God has given us the Bible so that we can use it against Satan. In the wilderness, when Satan came to Jesus and tempted him three times, remember he said, hey, you're hungry, turn these stones into bread. Or go up onto the top of the temple and jump off and the angels will catch you because the Bible says that God won't let you get hurt. And when Satan took him and said and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, hey, all you got to do is fall down and worship me and I'll give you all of these. And every time, all three temptations that Satan tempted Jesus with, Jesus responded, it is written. He quoted scripture from the Old Testament and told Satan, man shall not live by bread alone. He said, don't tempt the Lord your God. He said, thou shalt not worship anything before God. And so he quoted scripture, and God has given us the Bible to fight off Satan's temptations. He's given you parents and grandparents and friends who love you, who warn you about the devil and his lies, and the eternal damnation that you're headed to if you listen to him. He's given you a church and Sunday school teachers and preachers who take this book and warn you about Satan and tell you about Jesus. I mean, we tell you about the gospel, the good news of the Bible. You are a sinner. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. And again, it's not physical death, but it's spiritual death. The wages of sin is spiritual death, being separated from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said, you eat the fruit. Don't eat the fruit. When you eat the fruit, you're going to die. Well, you know their story. They ate the fruit, but they didn't die physically right away, but they died spiritually. God kicked them out of the garden. They were separated from God. And that's the penalty of sin, to be separated from God. But the good news of the Bible, the gospel, is that God loves us and that he sent Jesus to die in our place, to die for our sins. And the Bible promises us that if we trust, if we believe that and receive him, he'll forgive us our sins and give us eternal life. If the wages of sin is death, being separated from God, then the reward that we get for trusting Jesus, or what we get for trusting Jesus, is life, eternal life, being together with God. And then number three, if you die apart from God, if you die in your sins, you're dying just outside of salvation. In a sense, just like Abner died just outside the gate. He was on the very threshold of the city, just outside the gate. All he had to do was step through the gate. If you reject Christ and you go out to eternity, into eternity without him, the same thing will be said of you. You've heard the gospel. You're just a step away from coming into the city of refuge, coming into the city of salvation. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You can be saved right now. The only thing that's keeping you from it is you. All Abner had to do was to take a few steps, enter that city, and be safe. All you have to do is take one step. Believe Jesus. Receive him. And he will save you from eternal death. He will give you eternal life. All you have to do is take that step and receive him. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 9, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Would you do that? Would you receive him as your Savior? Please don't let it be said about you what David said about Abner. Abner dieth as a fool. Don't die as a fool. Don't put yourself in the hands of your enemy. Use the things that God has put in your life and enter into that city of refuge. Enter into salvation. Take that step toward Jesus. Ask him to be your Savior, and the Bible promises that he will save you from the penalty of sin. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would multiply it. I pray that you would put it into our hearts, into our souls, into our minds. And I pray that those that don't know Christ as their Savior will receive him. Make him their Savior and leave eternal death and enter into eternal life. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.